Hi there, this is Sage Faulkner, and this is the Chamapeake Land Alliance Farm and Ranch Podcast. These are previously aired live recordings from the Farm and Ranch radio show on 96.1 FM, KXJR. We appreciate the opportunity to share these recordings with you, and if you have questions, you can always reach me, sage@chamapeake.org. There may be old or outdated announcements throughout the show. Please disregard. Thank you again for making time to listen. Our website is www.chamapeake.org. Thanks to CPLA, KXJR, and the many members and guests who have contributed to this podcast. Thank you so much and have a beautiful day. Mr. Manny, you are truly one of my favorite people to get to spend a rainy day with.
Thank you so much, Sage. Good morning, everybody. And again, I want to follow up a little bit on how you opened your show with the 4-H children in the valley. I have a close connection to that, and the connection that I have to that is my wife, Doreen, used to teach leather craft here in for the 4-H, and some of the work that they did was amazing and outstanding. And like you said, some of these kids that have already grown up, they're adults, but they still run into my wife and they see her and they thank her for what she taught them and what they learned overall,
right?
Just in 4-H, not only in leatherwork, but what the whole value system 4-H teaches. And so that takes me back a little bit also to when I was a child. I never had the opportunity or the privilege to participate in 4-H, and I wish I would have. But when it comes to the four-leaf clovers, there was a belief that we had that, you know, the four-leaf clover was always something that was like a lucky charm. If you had one of those, you know, you could pretty much accomplish anything you wanted, you know, with your wishes would be granted. And there was a particular area which 3rd Street here in Chama takes you to on the Chamita River. It's all been houses, full of houses over there now. But there was a place there, I don't know what it was, just a particular plant that it produced a lot, a lot of four-leaf clovers, and so we were fortunate in that respect. And then again, Sage, thank you for having me here. I want to again let the public know that my role here is all my personal opinion. I do not represent any acequias, any entities. What I do represent is myself and my experience and the institutional knowledge that I bring to the table. So I thank you for having the confidence in me to join you in informing people about the most important natural resource that we have, which is water.
And that is our discussion today. So many of you know that Chamapeake Land Alliance is going to be hosting a short series of workshops basically around drought and diminishing water. And the first one will be October 13th, so about a week and a half away. And it will be at the Savoia Community Center. It's a Thursday afternoon, 4:30 to 7:30. And Manny and I are going to visit with you all today about the program and some of the reasoning behind this workshop. Manny and I share a lot of concern for this area and the needs for the water and the changes in the available water in this area. So we appreciate you all listening in, and we're going to talk about this workshop a little bit.
Thank you. Again, I come from the perspective of the land ethos that I was raised with, you know, that the land is your, or the earth is your mother, and the water is its lifeblood. So that's the perspective that I approach things from. And also, like I said, the institutional knowledge that I bring to the table, having been involved with this, excuse the pun, immersing myself in this subject for over 40 years, a few things I've learned along the way. And one for sure is water is a finite resource, especially potable water. And the way we manage it is very important. We have neglected to do that, and it's catching up with us. I think this last drought that we had this year kind of woke up some of us up, and we need to start doing something about that, because I have a book that I have acquired from New Mexico Tech on the geology of the state, and it 20 years ago, it mentions the need, how we needed to protect our water, how we needed to plan for it, and nothing's been done in 20 years. And that's part of the reason that I'm here today is to, we're going to be gone here pretty soon. And there are some things that you want to do called a bucket list. One of the things in my bucket list is make sure that this water that we have in this valley stays here, that it stays in the basin of origin, because the demand from Texas and all the way down is great, and it's going to get even worse as the population increases.
And that's a really good point, Manny. And one of the things that I'm starting to see as I research this is this need to keep water high. And it's the idea of keeping the waters in the mountains as long as we can, slowing the water down before it gets to our delivery partners and usage on down the line. And there really is some important and valuable research there that says that when we do that, we're recharging our aquifers. We're improving the health of the soil and the holding capacity of the lands around it. And by doing that, it really helps. And so one of the individuals that we have that will be on the 13th speaking is Dr. Johnson and his wife, Huchun Johnson. And their research has been on soil, but there's some really important ties there to improving organic matter in soil and thusly increasing the water capacity, the holding capacity of that land. And so there's some things like that, and we're the integral place of that. If we don't slow the water down here in our watershed, it's not going to get slowed down further down the line. It's just going to get consumed, right?
That's correct. You know, there is some water loss in the moving of it called transpiration. You know, so much water evaporates into the air. So you might start out with a 10-acre feet, but by the time you get it where you want it, you may end up with 8. So you've lost those 2-acre feet. And there's a lot of things that we've learned about how to move water, how to manage water, where to store it.
Right.
And that is one of the things that fascinates me is when you look at Elephant Butte, one of the biggest stores of water, native of water and non-native water in the state. But we lose over 25,000 acre feet to just evaporate. This is not transpiration, just evaporation. Because of where the dam is located in the heat.
Right.
And we've learned, you know, that further north you go up, higher in elevation, there's less evaporation, you know, as you come up to Cochiti and Abiquiu, Edvado, and there's less evaporation. So yes, we have to rethink about where we have where we store our water and how we do it. It's not working the way it was before.
Right. So you and I have talked about this book that you've brought in with you before, and it's roughly 20 years ago that this book was printed, right?
Yes.
And so one of the things that you've noticed and that you've shared with me is that we haven't done much in 20 years. And that's a really important thing for all of us, because I think in a lot of ways there may be a feeling that, well, I'm a single landowner, what can I do? Or I'm just a drop of water in the bucket, so to say. But we're at that place now where the change in the water availability and the resources are so taxing, and the droughts and so on and such forth, we're at that place where the change is happening now. So my feeling is that we've got to start doing more to conserve our water, to take care of our water resources.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Sage. I couldn't agree with you more. Just our whole approach to how we manage water from A to Z has to change. We think it's free because it comes down from the sky. And that was the way it was. But we didn't have the hundreds of thousands or even million people that we have in the state now. We have had droughts. We didn't have to worry too much about management because the demand wasn't there. And so there's, like I said, you know, I like to use this term, the more straws you put into the glass, the less water everybody's going to get.
And that's a really good visual that really brings it home to all of us, because everybody's putting their straw in that same cup.
And the more importantly is water is a renewable resource. And you can use it more than once. So we have to, you know, think now about how we manage water from A to Z, like I said. And one of the things that has opened my eyes as far as the importance of this area, and it's our watershed. This is not only our watershed, this is the state's watershed, and even for the state of Texas. You know, they own over 40% of the water in the state.
Right.
So they're going to demand it. And so, you know, it's going to end up in the courts. And so this is why we have to proactively start right now. And again, my hat off to you for taking the initiative, realizing how important this is. And like all big journeys, they begin with the first step. And so thank you for taking that first step and trying to get all the stakeholders involved where water is. It's important to everybody, but the people that, you know, actually do manage it, the first liners.
Right.
Thank
well, you. And I appreciate that. Thank you. But I actually have to tell you, you planted that seed when you and I spoke in the early winter about some of the things that I could do at this job. So thank you for planting that seed of how important it is for our water resource. And so that puts us kind of 15 minutes into the radio show. And I just want to take a moment again to say that you folks are listening to the Farm and Ranch Show with Sage on 96.1. KXJR, and my guest in the studio today is Mr. Manny Trujillo, who's a farmer and has a wealth of resources and is certainly on my list of mentors and people that I call when I have questions about agriculture or this community. And so we just thank you all for joining us. And what we're talking about is the overall picture of drought and diminishing water resources for our area. But also, as a result of that, we're going to be hosting some workshops through Chamapeake Land Alliance. And if any of you are interested in attending those workshops, there is no cost. This is free to the public. And if you get signed up, RSVP to me at sage@chamapeake.org. We'll even feed you dinner. And again, these are going to be down at the Savoia Community Center. The first one will be October 13th. And they're from 4:30 to 7:30, but I do need you to RSVP. So please send me an email or call me. Cell phone is 505-490-2822. And again, that's Sage to sign up for this drought and diminishing water workshop that we're going to have. So I know my guest here, Mr. Manny, is writing notes, and I know he's thinking in a grand way about the importance of the water. What are some things that you want to share with our guests today, Mr. Manny?
Well, you know, one of the things that we here in the West, you know, is how do we appropriate water? And for those that are not familiar with it, you know, they may move here into the Southwest, especially New Mexico, and where they came from, water was not a problem. The Midwest, et cetera, you know, they get all, you know, they don't have right. to irrigate. They have abundant water. And over here, it is a finite resource, and so our sources have to be protected. And going along the doctrine of a prior appropriation, which is this first in time, first in use, first in right. That's the way water is appropriated, and basically that's the way it is in the state of New Mexico. Well, going back to the people that have the first right, which is the Native American, one of my conversations with one of my friends from Santa Clara, we were discussing the about 20 years ago, but maybe a little longer, the whole situation of the water situation, the growth in Albuquerque, the growth in Santa Fe, and at that time, the casinos still weren't into the picture. But we were very much concerned about what was happening to the water, period. And he says, you know, in my culture, he says, we look at the Rio Grande as a serpent. And if you look at the tail end of it being down at where it ends. Well, if you cut the tail end, you build a dam now, chances are that the serpent's still going to live. But you keep cutting up till you get to the headwaters, which is where we're at, and that serpent's going to die.
Right.
And look at what's happening to the Rio Grande. It just recently, I had never heard about the Rio Grande going dry in my short lifetime here, and of course I don't know everything, but I don't remember it causing that kind of an alarm. But again, it's a finite resource. There's only so much. The more people we have in the state, the more water is going to be demanded. So we're going to have to steal from Peter to give to Paul. And I don't know if we're ready for that or what that's going to do.
Right. That's a really good visual. Rather sobering one, but a good visual on that. So some of the guests that we're going to have at this drought workshop. We've got David Griego. He'll be talking about water conservation and some of the programs at NRCS that is available for landowners. And his background, he's a Norteño. He was born and raised in La Madera. And so he's going to visit with us. And then we've got Dr. Johnson and Huchun Johnson, and they're going to talk about some of the research that they've done and things that folks can do simply by, you know, maybe making some compost and adding some compost or doing some things like that. And then the New Mexico Acequia Association will also join us. And I'm really hoping that in addition to kind of talking to us about some of the resources and things that they're seeing, they're also going to maybe give us a brief rundown on some lessons from the Mora fire. And certainly the damage to the watershed over there is something that we could see here very easily. So there's so many pieces that we've got to do here to take care of this watershed. So I think those will be some good discussions. And then you are going to kind of gather our speakers up and do some questions and get some of that information where that kind of impromptu stuff tends to be when I learn the most. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Mr. Manny, and just let you visit about that for a moment and your thoughts on that discussion.
It's up to us to take the initiative. And so again, that's why I say, Sage, you know, I hope that we have more people that become active, proactive, or self-actualize, not only think about it, but move and say, well, yeah, I'm going to attend this meeting and take the first step to protect our most important resource, which is water. And it's not an easy thing to do, because here in New Mexico, you keep in mind that we have the way water laws is managed, we also have some old Spanish law. It's right. Governing the acequias. And we're under Mexican government. We have Mexican law. And then we have New Mexico law. And we have territorial law. And then you have the Endangered Species Act, the Clean Air and Water Act. So, you know, to understand water in New Mexico, you just can't sit down and say, well, this is the way it is, the way you probably do in Wisconsin or where they have plenty of water. You know, there's not right. All these contractors. And that that word interests me, contractors. And the word contractor interests me from the standpoint that that's what you call, or the term given to the people that use water from Heron Lake. Anybody that has water in Heron Lake and they use it, they're called a contractor.
Right.
But that's okay if you have a contractor, but some of these contractors just fascinate me where they're located. How can they get water from Heron Lake to Taos and Taos still have water rights? Again, I don't know anything about water, but I guess there must be some kind of a trade-off where they take water and exchange it from the Rio Grande to from
right.
The one that's coming in,
right.
Non-native versus native water. And it's, like I said, it's a very complicated issue, and if you want to get involved, we more than welcome you to. We need you. It's your water.
Absolutely, and I really appreciate your perspective on that, Manny. I think this is going to be the start of maybe some really good work in our area about our water resources, and so I'm really, really tickled to have your perspective as we go forward on this. And I'm kind of drawing a blank for a minute again. So our drought and diminishing water workshop will be, the first one will be October 13th. The second one will be November 10th, and they'll be in the Savoia Community Center, 4:30 to 7:30. And again, we are asking folks to RSVP because we will provide dinner. And so when we do that, we need to have an idea of how many folks are coming. And ideally, we would really like to get those RSVPs in by this Friday, and the event is next Thursday, so not tomorrow, but next Thursday. And the Boxcar Cafe is actually going to be catering for us, and so we'll feed you good and have some good fellowship. Our agenda is at 4:30, David Griego will start, and then at about 5 o'clock, Dr. Johnson and Huchun will do their discussion. About 5:45, the New Mexico Acequia Association will kickstart, and then at 6:15, give or take, Mr. Manny will gather our speakers and do a panel discussion, And then about 6:45, we'll lay some food out. And hopefully by about 7:30, we'll wind down and let you all go home. We will have a survey in hand there. We'll have a program for you folks so you can contact folks after the first workshop. And then just so you know, for the second workshop, and this one's November 10th, we actually have Andrew Erdman from the Interstate Stream Commission coming. And so I've briefly talked about it here, but the State Engineer's Office and the Interstate Stream Commission have released a 50-year outlook on water in New Mexico. And that outlook for our area is actually pretty grim. There's some talk about south-facing mountainsides drying up and losing vegetation. And again, it's this the fact of the matter that it's a finite resource, right? So Andrew is going to come and visit with us about that 50-year outlook. And I think this is a really important place for farmers and ranchers and landowners in this area to be there and attend and give him some feedback, because I think particularly when it comes to farming and ranching, we tend to take those regulations as they're handed down and really not have much input as they get developed. So I think this is a really good place for us to gather and visit with him. And then Connie Maxwell, who is with the New Mexico State University Water Resource Research Institute, is going to talk some about that Keep It High opportunity about improving watersheds at where they start and some stuff they've done there. And for that go-round, Donald Martinez Jr., our agricultural extension agent, will be the moderator. And again, we'll provide dinner and we'll do a panel and some networking. So we invite all of you to attend these workshops. And again, they're free of charge thanks to the Foundation for a Better Tomorrow, who is helping us put this program together. And Mr. Manning, we can continue talking or we can wind it down. What's your feeling?
Well, you know, I can wind it down. I don't have much to add other than we have to be proactive because the figures in themselves tell us that. When you look at the water that's being produced here, 80% of it is going to Bernalillo County. They are getting ready. I mean, you know, they have the votes. You look at rural New Mexico, and you just look at the amount of legislators and senators that come out of Bernalillo County, and they're going to change the laws, and they're going to make them favorable to where they favor the city, the urban versus the rural. And so that's why we here have to start forming coalitions and partnerships with other people, because, you know, if you stand alone or by yourselves, you don't stand much of a chance against the legislative contingent from Bernalillo County. And that's just the way this country works.
And you are absolutely right. So we welcome all of you to join us at this workshop and then reach out. And Manny and I hope to continue to bring these kind of things here for you listeners to think about and in different formats such as this workshop. So I'm really looking forward to seeing all of you next Thursday, October 13th. And again, you need to RSVP for the workshop. And Manny, I will just close by saying thank you so much for joining us. Your wealth of information and certainly your passion for the water and in this area is so greatly appreciated.
Thank you for the confidence again, and thank you to the listeners and need to work together.
Sounds really good.